Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time, season 3, episode, I believe, 32. And there are two things I wanted to talk about. The first one is going back to my beloved Linux desktop after using the Mac for the whole of my holidays and a month before that, and just realizing how productive I am using GNOME. And the second one will be a conclusion on the production agency. Basically, a recap, what I learned and what I can apply and what I will not try to do anymore. So let's begin with GNOME and productivity. And these are two words that some people would never put together. I read a lot of comments saying that GNOME is a tablet interface, that it is not productive, that it is unusable without a bunch of extensions. I completely disagree with this statement. In my opinion, GNOME is the most productive desktop environment, at least for the workflow that I have. And I understand this is absolutely not a general case. A lot of people will do a lot more on their computers than what I do, or a lot less. So it's just my opinions on GNOME itself. So I was using the MacBook Pro, the M1 Pro MacBook Pro that I got for... I think it's been a month and a half in total, a full month before I made the video explaining what I liked and disliked about macOS and the computer. And for my whole vacation, I also brought it with me because I wanted to keep exploring macOS a little bit, and I wanted to be able to record a few things on macOS if I ever wanted to make a follow-up video or if the production agency lacked a few pieces of B-roll. I also wanted to just see if I could make stuff using this computer. And turns out I can, but it was not super fun. So now, coming back, I just dumped that MacBook Pro on my desktop, on my desk, and I will just use it to try Fedora Asahi Remix and the regular Asahi Linux, maybe make a video comparing the two and seeing what I find okay, what is not yet ready, stuff like that. And I went back to my current computer, which is my Slimbook Executive 16, and my main editing rig. For now, I still have those two computers. Probably before the end of the month, I will try to switch it up with the new, not the Executive 16, the Infinity Book Pro 16, which is the exact same laptop, but from Tuxedo, with newer internals, more RAM. I'll try to replace completely my laptop and my desktop with this new thing. But for now, I still use the laptop and the desktop, and they both run GNOME. And I must say, I was so productive going back with this. Like, editing the Linux news video took me, like, half the time it took me on macOS. And this is not just a case of not being used to it, because I had been using macOS exclusively for a month and a half. I was used to it. I knew the shortcuts, I knew the touchpad gestures, I knew the apps, I knew the little quirks and oddities. And I had also used macOS for a long while at work, for like 5 years completely. So I know the system, and it's just not as productive for what I do as GNOME can be. And yeah, I know, a lot of people will say GNOME is just not a good desktop environment, that it's too simple, it's dumbed down, it's there's no menus, or I don't know, there's no dock, or... but yeah, you do need some extensions if you want to replicate some kind of workflow that you're used to, and I do use a bunch of extensions. I went back to using Dash to Dock. I don't use it that often, but I use it for minimizing some apps from time to time when I really want to do so, or just as a quick app launcher from time to time. I switched up the GNOME search from the full screen search to FileLight, I think it's called. Searchlight, which is a GNOME extension that basically gives you a small launcher just like KRunner, and I use that sometimes. I use the new GNOME extensions to replace the activities button, although this one is take it or leave it. I added back the tray icons. But honestly, I could use GNOME without any of that, perfectly productively, except maybe for the tray icons, which I find really useful for a few things. I use Nextcloud to sync everything, and just seeing that small sync indicator is just a peace of mind thing. Like, you know, yes, it's been synced, there are no errors, the thing is running, you're not losing any work. That's just a peace of mind. Not having that visible at all times is annoying, so I like having tray icons. Every single other extension I could just do without. They don't add much to my productivity. They are cool, but they are not needed. And I just feel like GNOME is the most productive desktop environment for me specifically. I also really enjoy KDE, but with KDE, I feel like I need to coerce it to work like I want it to. The default layout is too Windows-like for me. I don't like it. I'm not used to it anymore at all, and I never found it really good, like a basic normal start menu. I don't find it a good UI paradigm, apart from if you're used to it. And once I customize KDE for my needs, for what I like, it never really feels as smooth as GNOME in daily use. And that's kind of normal, because KDE is designed to be completely customizable and to be interchangeable, but the end result, once you're done customizing it, will never be as smooth and polished and intuitive as something that was designed from the ground up to work in a certain way. And sure, the thing designed in a certain way is not perfect for everyone, but for people for whom it's really working, it's really working. And trying to replicate it on another desktop just doesn't feel as good. And plus, since you have all these customization options, the entire interface and settings and right-click menus are all filled to the brim with options and menus and options that you can click to tailor and tweak things. And that's great. But once you've finished with customization, then you're left over with a bunch of stuff that you'll never click on or that is just distracting. So that's just my opinion. I still find KDE to be absolutely fantastic. And honestly, if you ask me today, GNOME and KDE, and maybe also Cinnamon, are three desktop environments that are vastly superior to the default Windows interface or macOS interface. I think we surpassed them a while ago. We're just better, faster, smarter. It's just, they're just more intuitive, better interfaces. But GNOME for me is just where I feel the most at home. You've got those smooth touchpad gestures, you've got those smooth animations, you've got this really nice coherency in the experience. Everything looks and feels the same. I mean, for me, because I use the default Advaita theme, if you try to theme things, of course, it's never going to look perfect. But with the default Advaita theme, it feels like a coherent, cohesive experience. Everything works in the same way. And there are a few issues. Like, for example, when you're on a laptop, sometimes you can use a two-finger swipe back to go back one level in an app. Some apps don't support that. So you try to do it and it doesn't work. I wish all apps did it. Sometimes your menu is a three-dot menu on the right of the window. Sometimes it's the application's icon on the left. It's not always perfect, but it is very, very smooth and very coherent. And in terms of customization, I mean, GNOME is very customizable. Sure, you can try and get a global menu, but it's really hacky and doesn't work all that well. You need an extension and a program running in the background, and most apps will not integrate well with it, especially GNOME apps, which don't have menu bars at all. And yes, you do have a few things that you're limited in. But generally, once you start looking at extensions, you can really turn your desktop into anything you want. You want a dock, you've got dash to dock. You want a bottom panel, you've got dash to panel. You want to completely change the top bar and the things that are in there, you can. I added the places menu in my top bar to just have quick access to some bookmarks because I got tired of opening Nautilus and then clicking on the right bookmark or looking for a location. Now I can open them straight from my top bar. It's cool. You can change how notifications appear, where they appear. You can change the clock. You can put everything in the quick settings if you want. You can add back desktop icons. And yes, extensions do break from time to time between releases, but honestly, unless you're using Arch or something that moves to the latest version immediately, you're not going to encounter that many issues. Like me using Fedora, I get the latest GNOME about a month after it releases, and generally by that point, all the extensions that I use have already been migrated or are rendered unnecessary by the new features in GNOME. So I don't think it's that much of a problem, and it does give you a lot of leeway to customize things if you really want to. And this configuration evolves over time, even for me in GNOME. For example, I used to use the dark theme switcher extension, which I used mainly to make sure that all my apps, including GTK3 apps and apps that don't support the dark mode preference, the global dark mode preference, I wanted to make sure that all of these switched to dark mode when I enable dark mode. I'm generally more of a light mode user, but when I use my computers at night or in a dimly lit room, I move to dark mode because it's easier on the eyes. When there's a lot of sunlight, I find light mode way better. So I needed a switch, but Night Theme Switcher now forces you to automatically switch the themes between night and day, and so I had an extra click to do. I replaced that with the legacy GTK 3 theme switcher, which does the same thing but without the automatic schedule. And so now when I click my dark theme button, everything goes dark theme and it doesn't automatically revert to light theme if it's daytime or whatever. It's great. It's evolving. I didn't used to use dash to dark. Finally, I found a use for it. Now I use it. I didn't use Blur My Shell, but then I wanted a little bit more eye candy, so I installed it. I found an extension that rounds window corners, so even older apps that don't support that now have rounded window corners. It is evolving over time. You're not stuck with the default vanilla GNOME. You can evolve it however you want, and that's really, really good. And you also get a bunch of third-party themes for stuff like Firefox or Thunderbird that really are an exact copy of the new LibertVita theme, which means that my Thunderbird currently looks exactly like a GNOME app with a header bar with like GNOME buttons, GNOME colors. Same goes for Firefox. It basically looks like GNOME web. So all my apps are really well integrated. The only ones that don't integrate well are Qt and KDE apps or really old GTK apps like Audacity or the GIMP. Or just applications that were not specifically designed for Linux, like everything Electron, or like Discord, which I still use, the YouTube Music desktop app, which isn't an official one, and DaVinci Resolve, stuff like that. But most of my regular day-to-day apps just look exactly the same in a complete cohesive whole, which is something that I have never found, whether it's on KDE, on Windows, on macOS, there's always a discrepancy. On GNOME, I don't have that kind of discrepancy. And the rest of my workflow is perfectly handled by the default features of GNOME. I generally just use two windows side by side on my laptop. I can do that with a simple drag to an edge. I can drag up to maximize. I have the simple quick settings to turn on and off what I need. There's the simple design style that I really enjoy. There's a great ecosystem of small applications, of which I use a bunch. There's good Nextcloud integration to quickly share a file. And the default desktop is modular enough. It just feels like a super polished experience, and even when you start improving it or modifying it with extensions, you never feel like you're breaking the default flow. You don't feel like you're completely changing things and creating little breakpoints here and there. It just still feels completely polished, even with a bunch of extensions. And this is my use case. I'm sure that people who use a ton of windows that are open all the time and that don't use virtual desktops at all or don't use window tiling, they might be very annoyed at a vanilla GNOME because there's no minimize and, yeah, window management is relatively bare bones. But for my workflow, it's just fantastic. I use virtual desktops all the time. I use tiling. I'm just very tidy with my apps. I close the ones that I don't use anymore instead of minimizing them because they just open instantly when I click on them. So why would I bother minimizing and remembering where things are? I just close it, and when I need it back again, I reopen it, and it opens immediately. Maybe even faster than the unminimize animation. And when I do have heavier workflows, workloads, for example, when I'm editing a video and also recording the B-roll for the video at the same time and looking things up online or trying to record web pages, I will have a few Firefox windows or tabs open. I will have OBS. I will have DaVinci Resolve. I will have whatever app or program I'm trying to record. I will have a file manager to drag the footage into DaVinci Resolve. I'll have a lot of things open at the same time, maybe sometimes even a terminal or the settings app. I use virtual desktops for that. You just move your editing software to one virtual desktop, everything you're recording to another one, and everything that's needed in between to another one. And GNOME is perfectly designed from the ground up for these virtual desktops. Like whether you're using touchpad gestures or keyboard shortcuts or the activities button, it's all designed for that. It's designed, it's built with virtual desktops in mind. It's not a tacked on thing. It's just there out of the box, and everything is really fluid when you try to use that. On my desktop, for example, I use LogiOps, which is a small program that I use to map my Logitech. I've got I think it's a Master 3, MX Master 3, and I map the thumb button and a mouse gesture to change virtual desktop. So I just press the button with my thumb and I move my mouse to the right or to the left and I automatically switch desktops. I don't even have to touch the keyboard to do so. It's really efficient. And on a touchpad, it's even better. It's super fluid, especially with Wayland and one-to-one gestures. And I don't know, maybe it's just that I'm really used to it after, I think it's been more than a year since I've been on Fedora and GNOME. And so maybe I'm just really used to it. But I also was really used to Elementary OS. I think I used this one for maybe 2 or 3 years at the beginning of my channel. And it never felt as productive as GNOME is right now. probably because you can't really modify it at all compared to GNOME. I don't know, but GNOME just feels better. I also used KDE for more than a year, and I never felt as productive either. I still found myself looking at, oh, wait, how do I do this? Okay, there we go. It's always a small pause of a micro, like half a second, but it's still a pause in your workflow. With GNOME, I never have to think about doing things. I just do them and they execute automatically. So yeah, it was just an eye-opener using macOS and going back to GNOME. It just felt like I was home. Like everything feels polished and nice and smooth and easy to use. And sure, there are some gaps in the application library. I wish there was a better Notes app than IOTAS. It's good, but it's really basic Markdown support. I wish there was a complete WYSIWYG like editor for everything, just like the Nextcloud Notes online editor now supports. There are a few things missing. Some apps are a bit too simple. Some apps are pretty unstable and I uninstalled them. But generally, it just feels super intuitive and polished, and it's just a joy to use. And honestly, I even got a comment on one of my macOS videos. No, I think it was on the Sometimes I Get Tired of Linux video. And someone said, anyways, you're probably just using Linux for the views on your channel, and as soon as you end your channel, you'll move to another operating system. And I was like, dude, did you really think I would have chosen Linux as the default topic for my channel if I preferred using macOS? I could make a lot more views doing a Mac channel or a Windows channel or a general tech channel. I use Linux because I love it. And even if I stopped making videos and I stopped doing this channel, I don't know, maybe at some point, I will still keep using Linux everywhere I can. It's just so much fun and it's just a better experience than anything I ever used. And GNOME will probably be my default unless they mess it up in the future. I will still try things out, Deepin, and I will still try Cinnamon and KDE and other things as they evolve. But I think my desktop environment of choice is just GNOME. I just feel so at ease with it. It's the only time I think that I've used a computer without really thinking about it. I never think about what I'm doing, I just do it. And I think that's the mark of a really great system. And it won't be for everyone, but for me at least, it's kind of the perfect desktop. Okay, now let's move on from this GNOME-related rant and attack the topic of the production agency. So all the four videos that were edited by them are now done. And I have informed them that I will not be renewing the service. I gave them a short list of reasons why I wouldn't. And I also offered them to have a short call, a video call, to explain why I felt that the value just wasn't there for me, for my channel, for my schedule, and for what they delivered. So they answered me, but with a very short video from one of the managers. It basically boiled down to, okay, I'm sorry, we didn't meet your expectations. Let us know what we can do better. We took your feedback into account. We'll be working on that in the following month, blah, blah. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not expecting a company to spend time with someone who doesn't want to be a customer anymore. But yeah, I expected them to at least accept the offer to have a short 15-minute call so I could explain things. Because, well, I feel that as a company, you kind of want to improve if you've got a, let's not say a bad experience, but a disappointing experience for one of your customers. I don't know. They didn't want to do that. So it's okay. Now, here are the conclusions of this experiment. First, I don't think any of those remote editing agencies are a good fit for relatively technical content, because they will probably never have a resident Linux guy to understand what I want to talk about. Every time they tried writing a script on the basis of a relatively exhaustive list of bullet points, they just fell short. They fell short. I did not provide them with just a few headers. Like it was not just a script outline. It was basically the full script, but not turned into paragraphs. I had bullet points for everything. It was already structured into categories and chapters. But every time they tried to write a script based on this, it always turned out kind of mediocre. They glossed over a lot of stuff, probably because they don't really know the topic and they didn't really have time or they just didn't want to research it in more depth. And I'm not expecting an editing agency to be Linux experts, but they do offer to write the scripts on the basis of what you offer them. And the scripts they wrote were just too simple, too basic. I had to rewrite most of what they did. And even after rewriting this based on what they had started with, I felt like the scripts were not their best possible version. I knew that I could have done a better job if I had written them myself from the beginning instead of starting with bullet points and then having their version and then basing my work off of their version. In the end, I think I ended up with bastardized scripts that didn't go into enough detail about some stuff, and they didn't quite hit the mark of what I wanted. Especially in the I used macOS for 30 days, I wanted to go into more details about some options and some things, and why just having the option hidden 50 levels deep is not enough to solve a big UX problem, but I didn't have time because I based my work on what they had written, based on my own bullet points, and it just was too much work to rewrite it from the ground up. There was no time, so I had to work with that. So yeah, anyone who's not really familiar with the technical topic you're talking about will obviously not do a great job. Now, second thing that I really didn't like was that they were pretty disorganized. We had 2 full months to release 4 videos. In 1 month, I can release 12 or 13 videos. Making 4 in 2 months should have been really easy. But at the end of the first month, only 1 video was almost ready, and all of the other 3 scripts weren't even started. I had to remind them myself that we needed to set up a meeting to plan these scripts and start working on them. And once they did set up the meeting and we did start working on them, I delivered all the A-roll and the B-roll for the 3 videos in about 1.5 weeks, which was a big extra workload that I specifically wanted to avoid before my vacation. The main reason I wanted to work with them before my vacation was that so I wouldn't have had to rush the last 2 weeks before I was on holiday, producing basically 4 weeks of content into 2 weeks. I did not want to do that because that's what I usually do when I go on vacation, and then I start my vacation completely burned out, and even 2 weeks are not enough to alleviate that. And so I always start after my vacation being a little bit more tired than I should be. So I wanted to avoid that, but I couldn't because they could not work fast enough, or at least I think they just saw the deadlines for each video and said, oh, we have 2 months, we're really, really cool in terms of timing. We can take our time, but they took way too much time and it was not good. And also they gave delivery dates that they never acted upon. They were like, okay, you'll get a finished version for this day. And I got it the next day at like 7 a.m. or something like that. So basically I wasted a full day waiting for something that didn't come. And then I had to rush looking at what they sent because we only had 1 more day to make changes and edits. They basically delivered every video 2 days before it was supposed to be released, which since they took 1 day to process my feedback and actually implement it, basically meant we only had 2 phases of feedback, which for 1 video was not enough. The remote desktop video, we had 4 back and forth because they just did not understand the topic at all. They did not understand which B-roll to use in which case. They just mixed and matched stuff. Like they were talking about remoting into a Linux computer, but they were showing Windows. Or they were talking about how to set up remote desktop in macOS and showing a Linux settings panel. My B-roll was perfectly labeled and split, and they just didn't understand it because they didn't understand the topic. Or maybe they just didn't care and wanted it done with. I don't know. But it just didn't work well. And this last remote desktop video, if I hadn't decided myself to push it back 1 week to give me a little bit more time, well, I would have had nothing to publish on the set date. They were late, which is unacceptable because 2 months for 4 videos is more than enough. And third thing is that they really pushed towards the usual YouTube clickbait content in terms of titles, in terms of thumbnails. They just were not faithful to the image I built for my channel. They were clickbaity. They misrepresented the content. And the thumbnails, apart from the usual white cutouts that I add, just did not look like what I usually create at all. They used the useless arrows. Like you see them on a lot of channels. Like there's an arrow pointing to nowhere with a big title like this doesn't work, and an arrow pointing at just one button. It has nothing to do with the rest of the interface or whatever. Like the title has nothing to do with the content, and the thumbnail also doesn't look like the content at all. They didn't use the right font. They didn't use the right colors. It just didn't work. So I had to craft the titles and the thumbnails myself as well. Sometimes I took some inspiration from what they offered, but I just rejigged it so it looked like something I would have made. And in the end, the only service that worked well that they offered was the editing, which some people didn't like because it moved too much, there were too many zooms and sound effects, but some people actually enjoyed it. I would say as many people enjoyed it as people who didn't enjoy it. And apart from the pacing of the videos, I can't argue with the quality. They turned relatively boring B-roll into something quite nice. And in terms of performance, the videos also did pretty well. The macOS Sonoma feature comparison got 66,000 views, which is good for the channel. The Sometimes I Get Tired of Linux video got 82,000 views, really good. And the I Used macOS video got 139,000 views, which is way more than the average number of views on the channel. And the only outlier here was the remote desktop video, which only has 39,000 views. It's smaller than what I usually get, but also it's a relatively niche topic, so I wasn't expecting it to blow up or anything. I went into it knowing it wouldn't perform extremely well. Now the thing is, these views, these increased number of views compared to the average on the channel, they didn't come from the editing. Looking at the numbers, they came from a bigger number of clicks on the thumbnail and just because the title was good enough, I guess. So I can actually see that in the YouTube app. I can see the click-through ratio, so how many people clicked on the thumbnail and the title, and I can see the average duration. And the average duration is heavily dependent on the editing. If the editing and the video topic is boring, people leave. And if the editing is good, they stay. The time spent on the videos was exactly the same as when I edit my own videos. So the editing basically didn't do anything. It didn't help. What helped was that the topics were good and the thumbnail and title combo was good as well. So in the end, this agency just didn't work. It was not a good fit, but it taught me a few things. First, it taught me that I don't need to be as focused on the editing, trying to match the usual tech channels on YouTube. It doesn't seem to make an impact on the views. Some of you told me that I was too focused on trying to improve my editing. I wanted to compare that with some actual data, and it turns out it's true. My usual editing works just as well as something a little bit more fast-paced. It doesn't change anything. Second, I cannot bring myself to do clickbait. When I went in with this experiment with the agency, I went in thinking I would let them do something a little bit more clickbaity. Thinking, you know what? Let's at least see if it could work. I was not planning on doing clickbait, but I was like, okay, if they offer it, like I always have the easy way out of saying, hey, it's the agency, they offered this, this is a test. I mean, why not? But I could not bring myself to do it. I will occasionally lean into what I call click-worthy titles. They're not clickbaity because the content actually matches the title on every single one of my video, at least I try to do it this way. But sometimes I will have something like, oh, it's not like you won't believe this, but this is why I left Android, or this wasn't fun, or maybe use this thing. Like, it's a little bit more cryptic to get you to click on the video, but it's not misrepresenting the content. And I sort of asked myself if I wanted to do it with the agency, but I decided against it. It's just not how I want to run this channel. I hate personally watching a video only to discover that it had nothing to do with the title. It's something that I see more and more, even on giant channels like LTT. I saw their recent I Put a GPU in the New Mac Pro video. That title is a straight-up lie. They did, in fact, put a GPU in the Mac Pro for like 10 seconds of the video, only to say that it didn't work. The whole rest of the video is just basically a review of the new Mac Pro, comparing it to the M2 Mac Studio, and trying some other PCIe cards, not a GPU. The title is entirely false. I was also watching some Warhammer 40K related content. I was watching a video called This is my biggest problem. No, I'm fixing my biggest problem with Warhammer 40K. And the video is a dude explaining that he doesn't like the color scheme of one of his armies and the poses of some of the miniatures and fixing it. That's not a problem with Warhammer 40K. That's a problem with your army and the miniatures you painted. It's a complete lie. The title is a lie. I do not want to do those titles. They probably work, but I don't want to do it. I could not bring myself to do it. And so I learned that, yes, even under pressure or doing an experiment, I will not do that because I don't like it. And the third thing is that my production schedule doesn't really lend itself well to remote collaboration. Three videos per week is a lot, and I can manage it because I record everything. So when I edit, I know exactly which parts of the B-roll need to go where, what I want to show, how I want to present it. Having to pre-record some of that B-roll and send it over expecting the editor to understand it isn't really possible because we don't have the time to explain it. While I would be working with someone else on the editing, I would still have to work on my own videos that I want to edit for the current week while they work on the next week or something like that. Or they would work on one video while I still have two to make. I don't have time to explain this. Someone working with me locally that I could work with as they edit, that could work. I could get them at first to let them learn, but remotely it doesn't work all that well. You just basically dump all the footage into a black box, you wait a few days, you get a result that you then comment on, you wait another couple of days, you get a new iteration again. It's too slow, it's too opaque, it's too inefficient. And if I had only one video per week, maybe that would work, because you have a lot more time to explain things. But with three videos per week, it's just not doable for me. So in the end, I still want to look for someone to help me, but locally in Brest and probably starting in September. So I will maybe start looking in September. I will start looking at somebody that's a freelancer that would like to edit. We'll start with maybe two videos for 1 month and see how it works. And if it works out, why not bring this up to 4 to 8? Basically, the thing I would like to do is only working on the news videos myself because they're released on a weekend. I don't want to ask someone to work on weekends, and they're relatively easy and fast to make. I can make them myself. But for the editing of the other videos, the other two videos per week, I would like to delegate them. So this leaves me more time to focus on other projects and other things, maybe write better scripts or longer term projects, maybe start like channels or videos about other things. And so I will start looking in September and we'll see if I can find someone. If I can't, I will just not do it and I will keep doing everything myself. It is doable. I have enough time in a week to do it. It's just that the editing is not the process I love the most. And sometimes I wish there were someone else to interact with, discuss the topics and help bringing a video to life. But honestly, if it's too much work, if it's too complicated or I can't find anyone, it's perfectly fine to keep doing it myself. I'm not going to burn myself out doing that. I've been doing it for 5 years. I can keep doing it for 5 more and maybe more, even more than that. And I won't focus on the editing too much anymore. I found that I enjoy having control over the whole process and doing everything myself, so that's not a problem. But I also found that the more I push myself to try and do like more involved stuff, I just lose interest. It doesn't feel like I'm doing it for me. It feels like I'm doing it for the algorithm and for the video, well, for the views, basically. And I don't want to turn making those videos into some kind of soulless corporate thing where I try to match the algorithm. I want to keep doing things as I like and as I'm comfortable with. And yes, I will still experiment with a few things, try a few weirder jokes or like some small skits in the middle sometimes like I did before. But I don't want to like follow a template from another channel. And working with the agency really made me realize that they do want you to fall into a template because that's way easier for them to work with. If you tell them, I want stuff edited like Linus Tech Tips, they know what to do. If you just say, no, I want something like slower pace, but with a few sound effects, but maybe a bit of animation here and there and not too many screen grabs. It's just too complex. They need an example, or at least they don't want to learn. And I feel like doing things myself is just way more fun, but only if I do the things that I really like doing and if I do them for me and for the audience and not for the algorithm. So this is about it for this experiment with the agency. Now you know everything, basically, and I won't bother you anymore with that. I know it's been like a full month and a half since I've been talking about this on every Patroncast. So yeah, we're going to move on to other topics now. I'm sort of glad it's over because it kind of brought more stress than it alleviated, just because they were not organized and I had to really like get at them, like saying, hey, when's the next video? Like, we only have 2 days. I still haven't seen it. What are you doing back there? And it created stress during my vacation, and I don't want to have that kind of stress in my daily life. I could handle it on vacation pretty well because it was super relaxing. But when I'm working on other videos, I do not want that. So I guess this will conclude this Patroncast. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, if you have feedback, remarks about GNOME, about productivity on Linux, about the production agency, about the video topics I cover, whatever, let me know in the comments down there. And as always, thank you all for supporting the channel. The Patreon is actually growing really fast these days, which is awesome. There are a lot of you new members here, which I really, really appreciate. And honestly, it gives me confidence that at some point, if too many sponsors decided to go away, or if YouTube ads starting to really be crap in terms of payment, well, crappier than it already is, I could probably try and make a living off of Patreon if I just said, you know what, I'm ditching the sponsors, you can support the channel, you can do this here, you won't get ads in my videos, you won't get stuff, just support the channel and I'll work on whatever you want. It gives me good confidence about this, which is also very reassuring. So, as always, thank you all for listening, and I guess you will hear me in the next one. Bye!